In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Tonight I want to share with you parts of a truly stellar essay from the writer Daniel Clendenin, with a little commentary of my own along the way. The author writes, "Nothing unusual was happening that night to break the tedium of human boredom. In the backwater little town of Bethlehem, 1,400 miles from the capital of Rome, government bureaucrats conducted a census in order to increase the tax revenues of Caesar Augustus. A few obscure shepherds stomped their feet to keep warm and gossiped to stay awake through the night. A mother gave birth. And on that ordinary night, a staggering paradox occurred. Christians celebrate that ordinary night as the most extraordinary event in human history. As St. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, God was in Christ, reconciling the whole cosmos to himself. The British poet U.A. Fanthorpe was the first woman nominated as professor of poetry at Oxford University. Her poem, BC:AD, captures the paradox of that night, how such an ordinary night became the hinge of history, at least as Christians see it. She writes, "This was the moment when before turned into after, and the future's uninvented timekeepers presented arms. This was the moment when nothing happened. Only dull peace sprawled boringly over the earth. This was the moment when even energetic Romans could find nothing better to do than counting heads in remote provinces. And this was the moment when a few farm workers and three members of an obscure Persian sect, that's the Magi, walked haphazard by starlight straight into the kingdom of heaven." Clendenin goes on to say, "That night, among the everyday affairs of ordinary people, God became man. Eternity invaded time. The sacred embraced the profane. Before yielded to after. God had spoken to humanity in many different ways, in many different places and times. But in Jesus, he spoke a definitive word. In his human incarnation, Jesus embodied a divine affirmation, a holy yes. That God embraces all the world and everyone in it, and that he meets us in extraordinary and exceptional ways in all the unexceptional times and places in our exceedingly ordinary lives." Although it's hard not to think of angelic kids in oversized bathrobes, and shepherds with towel turbans on their heads. You should have seen our kids earlier tonight. What happened next in the first story was a mix of something rather commonplace and cruel. As was the custom, Joseph and Mary wrapped their newborn child in strips of cloth, and the boarders in the guest rooms at the inn turned away a pregnant teenager in the midst of contractions. Dealt this rather harsh blow, St. Luke says that Mary and Joseph placed Jesus in a manger, in a feeding trough used for animal fodder. But the shepherds, they heard a whisper of something wonderful that night, and they began to make their way toward that manger in Bethlehem. The point that Luke seems bent on us getting from this story is that Jesus' first well-wishers were not the well-off, the well-connected, or the powerful. They were not the wealthy, and they certainly were not the state royalty. They were common laborers. That was whom God had spoken to in the middle of the night. Those are the ones who were drawn to worship Jesus. Given the roughness of his birth, maybe it makes sense that they were the only people who would have felt comfortable at his manger. A wise old rabbi was once asked why so few people were finding God. He replied that people were not willing to look that low. Whatever those lowly shepherds saw or heard that night, Luke says they were at first terrified by what they saw. But then their terror turned to joy, and their joy turned into testimony. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. That's what Luke says. And from that day forward, the rumor mill hit overdrive and didn't stop for 33 years. Wherever he went, from that point on, people were amazed. The Christian church calendar observes special times of the year as extraordinary feast days and special days for fasting. These are the times that punctuate exceptionally significant moments in the life of Christ. The rest of the Christian calendar is called ordinary time. But the meaning of Jesus' birth, what the church calls the incarnation, is that there is no such thing as ordinary time. There is no ordinary place either, nor ordinary people. There is no ordinary school or ordinary soccer team or ordinary job or ordinary marriage or friendship, for that matter. Think about it. If the Son of God gasped his first breath while being born in a feeding trough, if tax decrees by pagan emperors and if lowly shepherds working the night shift all played a role in the redemption of the world, then no one and no thing can possibly be ordinary. By becoming human, God says yes to the most ordinary dimensions of life. It says that those ordinary things can be and are the places of God's extraordinary saving activity. No part of our lives is alienated from God. No one and no circumstance is outside the circle of God's concern. In our earlier children's service tonight, our associate Krista said that through the incarnation, God shows that incredible things can be done with things that are small and unimportant. And that means that no matter how small we may feel in our lives sometimes, no matter how low, we are still useful to God. Our lives can be filled with holy purpose. The very first people to carry the message to the rest of us that God had come among us were poor shepherds. Those who Jesus would later call around him as an adult were fishermen. They were lepers, tax collectors, the most overlooked and unappreciated people on the planet. The incarnation teaches us that if we want to make a real contribution to the world around us, it doesn't take money or education or status. It doesn't take success by the world's standards to make a difference. It takes a desire to see in the smallest and unimportant person a reflection of the child Jesus. and to honor him and to love him and to serve him in all we do. Merry Christmas. Amen.